All right, church, how many of you ever stayed in a hotel before? Of course, most of us probably have at some point. Some of us probably have a hotel that we like, a certain brand, or we have something that if that hotel doesn't have, we are not going to be there, right? So there's at least one big survey that's been talked about before that suggests that there is something more important to potential hotel guests, more important than parking, more important than the location of the hotel itself, even more important than free breakfast. Can you guess what that thing is? Coffee. Jesus? Coffee? No. Wi-Fi. No. It better have free Wi-Fi. Second only to the price of the room. The first thing we look at is the price. I'm like, can't do that. Right after the price, we want to know, does it have free Wi-Fi? Because we need to be connected, and we need to know that that strong connection is free, right? And I don't know if this has ever happened to any of you, or if this is just something that happens on TV. You get to the hotel room, you go upstairs, you try to connect on Wi-Fi, and it doesn't work. You don't give up, do you? What do? Refresh, refresh, refresh. You get the little key card where they put the password on there. Do I got the right password? Am I doing this? If that doesn't work, what do? Hey, are you connected yet? I'm not connected, right? We don't stop. Some of us will go to this side of the room. Am I connected now? We'll go to this side of the room. Some of us will walk downstairs to the lobby to find that perfect spot because we want the Wi-Fi. Y'all with me? We are persistent now in our pursuit of that connection because we know it's there. And so here's the question that I'm going to offer to you today for us as the body of Christ. It's this. If we will go through all that trouble for Wi-Fi, then why is it so often we are so quick to give up on prayer? Now, there might be a lot of answers you can come up with, but I want to ask you that after reminding of these words that we just heard from Luke 18. In Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable about a persistent widow. She had a case, and she wanted the judge to take care of it. She needed the judge to act. She expected him to. As a matter of fact, I think if this story would have been drawn out just a little bit more, she would have demanded that this judge listen to her and her case. But for whatever reason, the judge shrugs her off. He's got power. She doesn't. Whatever. Seems like that's what people in power have been doing for thousands and thousands of years to those who don't have power. But the widow did not quit. Now, at this point, it's obvious she didn't have the judge's affection. She probably didn't have a lot of money or resources. She didn't have anybody to stand up for her. As someone said, the only weapon she had was persistence. The only thing she could count on was her willingness to say, I'm going again. The only weapon, the only power, the only strength she had is to get up every morning to knock on that judge's door and say, here I am again. And so she showed up again and again. The way Jesus tells the story, she begins to wear out the judge. And that actually, she got on his nerves, and she might even scared him a little, because the language that Jesus uses suggests that the judge finally says something like this: I better just listen to this lady. If not, she's going to give me a black eye. Judge, you ever had anybody like that in your court? Yeah. The judge says, I better just listen to her. If not, she's coming after me. Now, that's a great story. I think it's even supposed to be a little comical, too. We're supposed to laugh at the judge who says, I better just do something. If not, she's coming for me. But he tells the story for a purpose. Luke tells us that Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. Now, church, that tells us something. Jesus knew his disciples were going to face resistance. He knew they were going to face persecution and confusion and loneliness. He knew that there was loss ahead of them that they would have to endure, that their faith would be tested, their hope would be stretched thin, and that there would be days when it felt like the promises of God were taking too long to take shape. Anybody know that feeling? But in that holy tension, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't give them a strategy guide. He didn't give them a three-point sermon either. He didn't give them a pep talk or some kind of manual checklist to walk through. Instead, he gave them prayer. Prayer would be the lifeline that kept them alive. Y'all with me? The rain put y'all to sleep today? Huh? We're supposed to be excited today, y'all. How many times somebody raised their hand on Sunday morning and said, "Lord, we need rain." And now it's here and we're like, wake up, y'all. Y'all ready? Man. Now, here's the deal. Jesus gives us prayer. Prayer. Maybe you wanted something else. Maybe you wanted something that seems more powerful. Or maybe you wanted something that seems more exciting. But Jesus gave us what?
Prayer.
The disciples were about to walk into a world where following Jesus wasn't always safe. They would be pushed out of their synagogues, dragged before rulers, mocked, beaten, maybe even killed. They would see injustice. They would see suffering. They would see evil firsthand. And in that kind of world, Jesus says, don't lose heart. Pray. Don't lose heart. Pray. So, church, what if we could see prayer as more than a spiritual discipline? It is a spiritual discipline. It's something we have to discipline ourselves to do, some of us more than others. It's hard to find time to sit down. It's hard to find the words. It's hard to think about what to pray for. We're so busy. Let me tell you something that I read one time that just, it gut punched me. I hope it gut punches you too. If you are too busy to pray, you are more busy than God ever wanted you to be. Don't lose heart. Pray. So what if we could see prayer as more than just a spiritual discipline and see it as our survival? What changes about how we pray? What would change about what we would pray about? So all this then for the Christian heart means that prayer isn't a filler before the meal. It's not a bedtime routine. It is a connection to the living God. It is our connection. It is crying out to God who promised to make all things right. And Luke emphasizes this. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? And so prayer would be the way the disciples brought their exhaustion, brought their doubts, brought their struggles, brought their fears, brought their longings into God's presence. Prayer would give them courage when their hearts wanted to quit. Have you ever just wanted to quit? Have you ever felt like the world was all against you? You had nothing else to give. You had no sense of direction. It felt like healing would never come. Hope was something only the preacher could talk about. What does Jesus say to us in those moments? Don't lose heart. Pray. Now, is there more to do besides pray? Of course. Sometimes there's a lot more to do. But don't lose heart. Pray. And I know that this sounds good in church to say. I know it sounds good to talk about prayer and praying to God and giving thanks to God when we can hear the rain we've been praying for. Can you hear it? It's easy to talk about this kind of stuff in church. Thing is, we all experience silence. There are days we feel like God isn't answering. Maybe God isn't even listening. We wait and we wait as it seems like nothing changes. We see and we experience injustice when the powers of the world keep getting an edge on those on the margins, time and time again. And that's why Jesus didn't just tell the disciples to pray. He told them to persist in prayer. Persist in prayer. Be like that widow. You see, this is not a parable about prayer. This is a parable about persistence in prayer. We all know prayer. We've all heard the prayer. We've all probably said a prayer. We've all been in trouble enough. We finally said, Lord, it's me again. So it's not about prayer. We know about prayer. The parable that Jesus is trying, the point he's trying to get to us is don't ever stop. It's about persistence in prayer. Be like that widow who kept showing up. She refused to stop asking. And Jesus says, and an unjust judge can be moved by persistence, how much more will God, who is good, who is just, who is loving, how much more will God hear us and respond? Now, here's the thing. I've never met any Christian, any good Christian who's here on Sunday morning, goes to Sunday school, anything like that. I've never met any Christian who says, I pray enough. I'm okay. I don't need to pray more. I pray, in fact, more than enough. Nobody's ever told me that. And I've also never met a church that could say the same thing. I've never met an entire church that says, yeah, we're good on prayer. We're all right. But that's where we tend to struggle the most. That's where we tend to stumble the most together. Sure, there may be people in the congregation who devote themselves to prayer. Thank God for those people. Thank God for those people. But how persistent are we as the church together? Preacher, ain't that what we pay you for? Is that what the parable said? Did you see that part in the parable where Jesus said to pay the preacher for prayer? No. He told you. He told us. Not just to pray, but you be persistent in prayer together. And we'll see this as Luke continues to tell his story. He gets into the book of Acts. He'll outline how the church is holding on to the power of God. And what we realize is the church, it doesn't just come together to meet to sing their favorite hymns or to hear their favorite preacher. They meet specifically for two things: to break bread, and not just communion bread. They probably had chicharrones. They had it all. Because there's power when we break bread together. Remember that story last week about the two disciples and their eyes? They didn't know it was Jesus, but when Jesus broke bread with them, they ate, their eyes were open. That happens when we share a meal together. But they came together so that they could break bread. And so they can you take a wild guess? The other thing they would do? Talk about finances? Pray. That church prayed. They prayed when Peter was in prison. The church prayed when they faced persecution. They prayed when they needed wisdom to send out Paul and Barnabas. One of my favorite stories in the book of Acts, chapter 4, they had a prayer meeting. And the house where they were at began to tremble. Now, I'm from Galveston, you know that. Give me a hurricane, give me a tornado, but if the ground starts moving, y'all, I'm scared. But Acts 4 said there's this one time they're together and they're praying, and the building starts shaking. They don't get scared through their praying. They get more bold in what God had called them to do. Y'all with me? Pray. Because when God's people pray, something happens. When God's people pray, we remind one another of God's promises. When God's people pray, we hold each other up when one of us is feeling weak. When God's people pray, we learn that prayer is not bending God to our will, but aligning ourselves to God's kingdom. Prayer is not a wish list. One time I was with a group of young people, and there was some kind of interview the church had set up, and somebody asked the young person who they thought God was. That young person looked back and turned to us and then said, God is like Santa Claus, but with rules. And we all kind of chuckled. That was kind of clever. And I remember kind of laughing and then thinking, what have we done? That's not who God is. So when we pray, we learn how to find ourselves in the will of God. Not to make God do everything we think we want God to do. So here's a connection I hope I can make for you today. That prayer and faith, they live together. To stop praying is to give up on faith. To keep praying, even when it feels like, maybe even especially when it feels like praying, your prayers are unanswered. To keep praying is to live in faith. What I'll say, to be alive in faith. A praying church is a faithful church. A praying church is alive because it hasn't let go of God. It keeps going back to knock on that door. So, Brother Robert's going to show you something over the next several weeks. We've done this before. As we think about these five areas of discipleship, again, discipleship is not a program. It's not something we can check off. I did that. I'm good. This is how we live our lives. And not just how we live our lives when we're together here on Sunday morning. It's too easy to play church. Y'all with me? I'm not talking about playing church. I'm talking about living as a follower of Jesus. God is tired of the church playing church. So over the next 5 weeks, I'm going to show you the same image. And if you notice right in the middle of that, those circles, there's one name. What's that one name? Don't you ever forget that everything we're doing, that everything we talk about draws us to Jesus. Because that is the most important part of our life. Most important part of who we are together. If we think we can do church without that name, we're not doing church at all. If you want to put somebody else's name, if you want to put your name in the middle, this ain't church anymore. If you want to put Kelsey in the middle, this ain't church anymore. That's the name that has to be there for us. That's the name that has to be there for me and for you. So what we find is that sometimes we feel like, man, I'm real close. Real close, but then sometimes things happen, right? We do get busy. Things happen in life, kind of frustrate us or unnerve us, disappoint us, and when we're not careful, what happens is we kind of get a little further and further away. Now, don't mishear me. Wherever you are, far or not, Jesus can meet you there. This is about us and our desire to be in the center with Christ. So when I show you this every week, what I want you to kind of do is imagine where you think your life is right now. So for this week, we're talking about what? Persistence in prayer. How persistent are you? Are you real close? Are you that widow who's there every morning? Lord, Or have you kind of drifted? Now, wherever you are, I'm not going to say, shame on you. I'm going to say, good job. You're being honest with yourself. Wherever you are. What I'll ask you to do is, wherever you decide you are, that as we talk about and pray about, and that candle keeps going around, did we forget about the candle already? As that candle keeps going around, if you'd be willing to say, all right, Lord, I hear you. I'm just going to take one step closer. One step closer. So, for example, with prayer, maybe you sit down and no matter where you are, you remember to say, God, whew, thank you for this food. Praise God for that. But maybe now you're ready to say, when I wake up every morning, I will pray for whatever, whomever. I will memorize the Lord's Prayer if I don't have it memorized, right? I'm not telling you what to do. That's for you to decide. And maybe if you have people in your life that you trust, maybe you can ask them, what can I do? Can you help me? What I am asking you to do is to be willing to say, all right, Lord, I'm ready to go one step closer to you, wherever I am. And watch what God does with that commitment. So for this week, the call is simple. Don't stop praying. Pray when you are tired. Pray while you are waiting. Pray when it feels like nothing is happening. Pray together, because we need each other's voices when our own feels weak and faint. The praying church is alive, not because prayer is magic words, but because prayer keeps us tethered to the living God who gives justice, healing, and hope. You remember that Wi-Fi? When the Wi-Fi is not working, what do? Oh, well, I don't need to be online anyway. Nobody ever says that. Nah, you're going to get online today, aren't you? And some of y'all, younger ones, y'all don't know the pain of having to pay for like minutes of internet, right? Remember them days? But no, when we don't have it now, what do? We keep refreshing. We keep trying to connect. That's all I'm asking you to do, church, is to be as persistent with prayer as you would with something like that, to keep at it. Even when it feels like it's not working, you keep refreshing. Likewise, when it comes to prayer, don't lose heart. Pray so that when Jesus comes, he finds us faithful, and he finds us still praying, and he finds us alive. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.